Hey, Will, like I normally do, I just want to take a moment to tell our listeners to make sure they hit us up on social, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, wherever you might see us. Make sure you're sending us something. Also, you can email us directly at appalachiameetsworld@gmail.com. If you get a moment, shoot us a line, give us some feedback.
Yeah, and wherever you listen to the podcast, make sure you subscribe to Appalachia Meets World. It just helps our podcast, but it also helps you know when we're releasing a new episode.
What leads to success is grit. You know, we talk about, I mean, education may give you opportunities, but you can be smart and have a great education, but if you don't have the grit to keep pushing, that sometimes is a differentiator.
Appalachia Meets World, a podcast about place and perspective, but always Appalachian.
And don't forget, Will, tonight's episode is powered by SOAR.
Shaping our Appalachian region. If you're an entrepreneur out there, especially in Eastern Kentucky, check them out.
Appalachia Meets World. We're back again. It's Will.
And Neil. What's up, my man?
What's going on? A little energy today. That's what I like to hear.
Yeah, man. It's Friday. Feeling good. You know?
Are you feeling good? Because I wanted to get a follow-up from last week.
Yeah, man. I'm feeling great. Cats are looking good coming into March. Another big dub last night by my man Reed Shepherd.
Are you going to talk about the doctor's visit, or am I going to have to ask you directly?
Well, I was hoping that you would forget it, but obviously you haven't. Those men out there that have been through a doctor's visit similar, y'all didn't warn me. Thought I was just going in to schedule things, and we got it up and personal with the doc. It was a little uncomfortable.
Things are scheduled. Okay. I guess we'll leave it at that, but we'll get another follow-up once the procedure is done. How about that?
It's going to be on a Friday in the coming weeks, and maybe we could do a live podcast or something. It might go over well with our listeners.
Sounds good. We'll leave it at that. I'm glad you mentioned Reed Shepherd because we want to let our listeners know what we have coming in this March Madness, and it is the best appetizer, the round of 64. We have the 64 appetizers from our previous guests, and we're going to count them down as March Madness goes to get to number one. So get your votes in.
I'm looking forward to it. I know where my votes are going. Y'all know me. I'm looking for a Final Four run here for the deviled eggs.
We'll get the brackets out soon, and you can vote yourself.
Sounds good. I like it.
Also, wanted to ask you, Neil, since this weekend is your favorite weekend of the year, the Academy Awards are this Sunday. Yeah.
That's right. Almost forgot. How could I forget?
I know you celebrate, so I wanted to ask you. I wanted to run down the best motion pictures and see which one is your favorite. See if you have any predictions, or see if you've watched any of them.
Yeah, that's a better question. You know, it's one of my favorite episodes where we come up with all the things that Neil doesn't know. So let's do it.
American Fiction.
Is that a movie or is this a category?
That's a movie. Take it you haven't seen it.
No, not this time.
Next movie, Anatomy of a Fall.
I have heard of it, have not seen it.
Okay, we're getting closer.
Yeah. All right.
You've seen this movie, Barbie.
No, but I know you have.
The Holdovers.
Nope, didn't see that one either.
No, I actually watched it on a plane. It's pretty good. Killers of the Flower Moon.
I've heard of it, not seen it.
You have to dedicate like 14 hours of your life to watch it. I don't understand Martin Scorsese and his movies. They're all like 2 days long.
I was getting ready to say, as soon as you said that's who it was by, I knew it was weird.
I haven't seen it. I would like to see it. Very good thing. Next movie, Maestro.
Oh, yeah. How about this, Will? Heard of it and seen it.
Oh!
Boom! Boom!
What'd you think?
It's okay. Okay.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah, that's why I've seen it, of course.
I haven't seen it. So
it's worth a watch.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't feel like you gave it glaring reviews, but you're saying it's worth the watch, so I might check it out.
Yeah.
Oppenheimer.
Have not seen it. Have heard of it. Just haven't taken the time to watch it yet.
Peaky Blinders.
Love it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Even though it's obviously not in the category, but the actor is from Peaky Blinders. It's
same guy.
Past Lives.
No, never heard of it.
Poor Things.
Poor?
Poor.
With a P?
With a P.
No, never heard of it.
Well, okay. With a D.
Still not hitting.
I don't know why you asked, P or D. It doesn't matter.
I know.
Okay, last one. The Zone of Interest.
Nope, not seen that one either.
Well, you've only watched one of those movies. So which one would you vote for?
It's going to have to go to Maestro.
There you go. All right.
Is it bad that I've seen it and I probably still wouldn't vote for it?
It doesn't say much for Maestro. We'll put all our money on Oppenheimer because we know that's what's going to win.
I'm glad we get to the segment of the episode where I get to ask a question. Thanks. Do you got any app news for us?
I do have a little bit of app news. I just wanted to mention a few things going on in the region. The 48C workshop, the Office of Manufacturing and Energy Supply Chains and the Energy Communities IWG are hosting the 48C workshop. I wanted to mention it because there's one coming up March 26th in Charleston, West Virginia. So we'll post it in the show notes. You can check that out. Also, the ARC just announced $1.7 million in ARISE grants. I wanted to mention that because Invest Appalachia received a considerable amount of money to support 165 counties in Kentucky, North Carolina, Virginia, and West Virginia. It's for downtown redevelopment, and it's going to help, like I said, 165 counties for the next 5 years in regards to technical assistance, co-developers, and devising strategic plans for their downtown. So that's pretty cool. Appalachian Community Capital and Opportunity Appalachia, who we've had on the show, just got $350,000 from Truist to go towards Opportunity Appalachia to just increase what they can do throughout the region. Also, there's been a $10 million clean energy and green manufacturing grant. Catalyst Connection is the lead organization. They're working with Reimagine Appalachia and several other organizations, but these, over the next 4 years, give out $10,000 grants to manufacturers of small and medium size to transition into clean energy supply chain. They're calling it the manufacturing, the new energy economy in Appalachia. One other thing I wanted to mention that is in reference to the show that we're having today, it's cookie season.
Oh, yeah.
Girl Scout cookies.
Yep. Got to get those Thin Mints in the freezer, Will.
So you're saying they're the best if you freeze them?
Absolutely. It's kind of like peanut M&Ms. I'll let our listeners in on a little secret. Put your peanut M&Ms in the freezer next to your Thin Mints. It's a must.
Okay. I like it.
We talk about food and I chime in.
I was going to ask you, is that your favorite Girl Scout cookie?
It's not my favorite. It's just the only way I'll eat it. The favorite's got to be the Caramel Delights, right?
You call it Caramel Delights. I think they're also called samosas, right?
I doubt it.
They are. They definitely 100% are. I feel like that's my favorite too.
That must be the new age name.
I think it's the old age. I think the new age is Caramel Delights.
No, I think you're wrong. I think you got it flipped.
Well, the reason I wanted to talk about cookie season, we're having Lynn Fugate on the show today to talk. She is the CEO of Girl Scouts of Southern Appalachians, and they have a new, I guess you could call it a marketing piece for their cookie season. They are doing the great cookie competition for your favorite cookie in their region, which I think covers several states, but especially I think they're headquartered in East Tennessee.
Yeah, looking forward to the conversation, Will. Such an honor to have her on. been a fan for a long, long time of the product.
I wanted to mention again that they are having the vote for the favorite cookie. In order to vote, you can visit favoritecookie.org or visit their website at girlscoutscsa.org. Select the Great Cookie Competition, and it's under the Support Us tab. And so that's with the Girl Scouts of Southern Appalachians. You want to go ahead and get Lynn on?
Yeah, let's do it.
Special guest, we have Lynn Fugate. She has had an illustrious career in banking and community development, has occupied numerous board seats, more than it would take up a whole episode to mention them all, has won numerous awards. She's currently a city council member for the city of Knoxville, and more importantly, the CEO of the Girl Scouts of the Southern Appalachians, where she has been since 2016. Lynn, thank you so much for being part of the episode, being part of the show.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Our family, Neil and I, we're big on, like most Appalachians, we're big on history and tradition. One of the traditions we have appetizers at the holidays. We have this gigantic spread of appetizers, bigger than the meal. So I wanted to ask you, do you have a favorite appetizer or just holiday dish?
Oh, which holiday? I mean, you know, they change for the holiday, but
maybe your favorite holiday and favorite dish.
I guess really, maybe it's an appetizer, maybe it's a dessert. My mother-in-law is a good Southern cook, and when we're over there for Christmas, she makes all the Christmas candies, and her little pralines are great. That's not really an appetizer, but you know what I really love that she makes? Party mix, Chex Mix.
Yeah, she bakes
it from scratch and uses all the stuff and puts every good cracker known to man and pretzel and nuts in it. And we have to put it away or we won't eat all the meals she cooked.
Yeah, I love that answer because my mom, she can fix some mean Chex Mix too. Sometimes she just pours in the cereal, but That's a great answer.
Yeah.
And cream candy. I've always had cream candy at the holidays. And
she makes that too.
I consider that an appetizer because we definitely eat it before the meal.
So, and sausage balls are a big favorite too.
That's one of Neil's favorites. I wanted to really dive right into the Girl Scouts. You know, like I said, you've been the CEO since 2016, but just, you know, when people think of Girl Scouts, they think of Girl Scout cookies. But what exactly, can you just talk about the Girl Scouts? What exactly do the Girl Scouts do?
So it's one of my favorite things to talk about. So first and foremost, Girl Scouts is a leadership organization designed for girls. It based on the way girls' development goes, we teach girls how to be girls of courage, confidence, and character that make the world a better place. I like to say they're the leaders in our community that will replace us. So we teach them good citizenship, that compromise is not a dirty word, respect for their country, their community, to serve their community. And we teach them some skills along the way. I mean, our program has five pillars: outdoors, entrepreneurship, life skills, and STEM. So girls have programming in all those different varieties from the time they are daisies at five till they graduate from high school at 18. So the program, it's still the same pillars, but the programs change with the maturity level of the girl. And the older they get, the more they take on picking their path of what they want to do.
And so they have a major, I guess you could say major, impact on the community, because a lot of what you do is definitely community oriented.
We do. And I think one of the things that people don't often think about, you know, they think about, well, the girls sell cookies or they do this other stuff. I don't think communities are really aware of the community service Girl Scout troops do, from trash pickups, collecting food for food banks, for animal shelters, doing all these little service projects that make where they live better. And that's kind of the first way we teach them to give back.
You're the CEO of the Girl Scouts of the Southern Appalachians. What communities actually does that cover? Is it just Tennessee, or is it also a few states as well?
No, we actually have 46 counties kind of along the Appalachian spine. Starts in Southwest Virginia, goes down through the core of East Tennessee all the way down to Chattanooga, and we have four more counties in North Georgia. So it's quite a swath of real estate. We have three offices, one in the Chattanooga market, one in the Johnson City office. We have a Johnson City office and then one in Knoxville. And out of those three offices, we serve the girls around us.
And I know we spoke before, but there is this. So with that 46 counties, some of them are very urban, like Knoxville. Some of them are very rural. Do you see that urban-rural divide when you're working throughout these counties, or maybe some of the challenges posed by the rural areas as opposed to the urban areas?
Well, one thing I have learned is, you know, girls are girls. They want to, and they love learning, and they want to do well. And so what we offer them works wherever you live. The challenge sometimes is actually being able to deliver the program. We are a volunteer-driven program. You know, the national organization, our local council, we create the curriculum. The council offers some programs for them, but a lot of it is done by troop leaders. And so transportation to and from a troop meeting can be challenging in rural communities. If you go home from school, sometimes getting back to a troop meeting is a challenge. The opportunity to participate in some more robust programming that isn't near you, it is hard. So one of the things that we're exploring right now, I'm excited about, if it all comes to pass, we want to apply for a grant that will allow us to purchase three mobile units, basically, where we can drive our programming closer to the girls and do programs outside of our three offices. Because Wise Virginia is part of our council. Wise Virginia to Johnson City is a couple hours.
Yeah.
I've been told. Maybe not quite, but it's not easy to go. Sometimes that hurts the opportunity that girls have in more sparsely populated areas of our council.
That is amazing. And I'm glad you mentioned that. I'll just give you a little story on my background. I grew up in small town Kentucky, Pineville, Kentucky, and I wanted to be a Cub Scout when I was little. And I'd signed up. We had a volunteer leader, and it just so happens that because of that volunteer leader's work, they couldn't do it anymore, and there was no one else in town that would volunteer to do it, so I could not become a Cub Scout. I had no opportunity to ever become a Cub Scout, so I was never a Boy Scout, a Cub Scout, just because, you know, you only have so many people in these small rural areas, and if it's volunteer work, then, so I applaud you for applying for that grant. It sounds like some awesome work if you were
well,
to get it.
Well, at least we can try to do that. The other thing that we're really looking at is, because it's volunteer led, sometimes that is hard. Some families are working two jobs. Some people work in day shift, night shift. The family structure won't make it work. And so we have begun exploring. It's been easier to do in urban markets at this point, have what we call community-based troops, where we can find someone that maybe we can pay a little stipend part-time to go in, run the troop. We provide all the material. We provide the lesson plans. We make it as easy as possible. We just have to find the one person that's willing to do that. That's harder to scale because it costs money. So we're looking at ways to try to begin to partner with churches that might be willing to do it, but it's still volunteer that way. So my next ask is trying to figure out how to get into some schools, because I know I used to be on the Board of Education, and I know transportation to and from school is difficult, no matter where you live. And for a lot of children, once they're home, they're not getting back for things. That happens in urban communities. It happens in rural communities. So if things could be tied to school or right after school before the bus comes, that's kind of how we could do it. I have hopes and dreams of how to do it. The devil's in the detail.
Yeah. I know earlier you mentioned that Girl Scouts teaches character. That was one of the things that you did mention, but I wanted to ask you, you think it's different in Appalachia, especially for the young girls? Does having that Appalachia, we talk about it all the time on here, that Appalachian grit, that humbleness that Appalachians often have, you think that carries over to a young girl's role as a Girl Scout in Appalachia?
I do, because the other thing I know, what leads to success is grit. You know, we talk about, I mean, education may give you opportunities, but you can be smart and have a great education, but if you don't have the grit to keep pushing, that sometimes is the differentiator. So that can-do attitude, I'm proud of where I come from. I'm proud of my family. I love where I am, and I know my community and want to help it. That is natural in an Appalachian community. By and large, I think it's just something that you get born with. And so the character piece is what I think Girl Scouts teaches them, is opportunities to exhibit it more so than how to have character. But, you know, we have a law and a promise, and you respect yourself and you respect authority and others, and you use resources wisely and all the things that everybody grew up with. I jokingly say sometimes everything our grandparents told us was actually right. You know, there are things you shouldn't talk about because that causes division. You know, you don't have to tell everybody everything you think. Be nice, be kind to people. We're more alike than we are different. I mean, grandparents taught you that. We're just building on that.
Yeah, that's a great answer. You also talked about entrepreneurship and how you teach entrepreneurship. And I really wanted to discuss, it is cookie season. Cookie season just kicked off for Girl Scouts. And I wanted to talk about something that I saw, this cool thing that you're doing specifically, your section of the Girl Scouts, the competition to crown East Tennessee's favorite cookie. Can you talk about that a little bit? Maybe talk about when cookie season started, when it ends.
Okay, so cookies are available right now, and our cookie sale officially ends March 17th. So I have to do my plug here. So you can go to iwantcookies.org, put in your zip code, and you can find if there's a troop booth near you, and you can go buy cookies from a girl. If you can't do that, you can order online and they'll be shipped to you. So you can get your cookies even if you don't know a Girl Scout. And all the proceeds, I do want to say this over and over and over again, all the proceeds from cookie sales stay local. It's either used by a troop, their larger service unit, or our council to help deliver programming. No money goes to the national organization. It just all stays here.
Yeah, I never knew that. That's awesome to know. Yeah.
We do have to buy the cookie. So a part of that money goes to the baker, but everything else, because we don't bake them anymore. Back in the early 1900s, a troop in Oklahoma started all this by baking cookies themselves. We've outgrown that. But getting to the entrepreneurship thing, I will say the thing I do love about the cookie program, because you might have mentioned, I was a bank executive for a long time until I'm ending my career doing this. But understanding money is so important to long-term happiness in terms of how to stay out of debt, how to balance. I'm not saying money makes you happy. The knowing how to use your money saves you from despair.
Yeah.
So girls learn to budget, they set goals. And in the cookie program now, I just told you how you could do digital. So girls are learning internet sales. They do retail sales at a booth. I joke that if you go to a cookie booth, you can kind of tell a girl's future career. The girl that meets you out front is probably going to be in sales, talking to you about you buying cookies. Girl that takes your money is probably going to be like the treasurer, work in finance in a corporation. The person making sure the cookies are stocked is probably going to be in logistics. I mean, it really is a small business. So I had to get my plug in about cookies, but the competition thing is just a way to raise awareness and make it more fun for the adults. So we have some adult volunteers across our council who have agreed to be competitors in the great cookie competition. They drew randomly to see what cookie they would represent, because we might have had arm wrestling matches if they wanted the same one. So they had to draw, and then they're just raising funds and the cookie that raises the most funds will be that region's favorite cookie.
Such a cool idea. And people can vote.
But it's going to end with a celebration at some local restaurants. And that's where they'll be crowned. So they'll be one at Yeehaw Brewing in Johnson City, one at Yeehaw Brewing in Knoxville, and one at Wanderlust in Chattanooga.
And so that's the great cookie tasting after after the winner is announced.
Yeah, the winner will be announced there.
Oh, wow.
It's suspense.
Definitely.
Get announced there.
Well, I have to ask this then. Do you have a favorite Girl Scout cookie?
I do. I'm sort of a traditional person, so I love the Trefoil. The original shortbread cookie, because it's not too sweet and it goes with anything.
When we order cookies, that's always on the list, but it is not my favorite. I'll have to say I'm a samosa kind of guy.
Oh, yeah. So yeah. That's a very popular one. Thin Mints is popular. And the Tagalongs, the chocolate ones with peanut butter on the inside, they're very popular. I don't know much about, haven't really followed football, but I've heard of the Kelce brothers, Travis and Jason.
We all have.
And the Girl Scout Council in Philadelphia sent them in a question asking what was their favorite cookie. And Jason did answer that anything with chocolate and peanut butter. So their favorite was Tagalongs. So I'm waiting to see if that increases our Tagalong sale.
I think it might. You should probably also ask Taylor Swift what her favorite cookie is.
You know, Taylor Swift was a Girl Scout.
Oh, was she? Probably. Was she a Girl Scout in East Tennessee?
No, she grew up in Pennsylvania originally.
Okay. I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Moved Very to cool. I think her family moved to Nashville when she was about high school age.
Gotcha. Were you a Girl Scout?
Of course. You don't have to be to do this job, but I was. My mother was my troop leader when I was a brownie. Daisies did not exist when I was a little girl, because nobody really went to kindergarten. So you became a brownie in second grade, and mama was the troop leader. And just one funny little thing. So you do this ceremony when you become a brownie, and there's usually a mirror and you're looking in the glass and you see yourself. Well, what she used for our troop was a mirror that we had in our house, a big mirror, and now it hangs in my house. So I just think that's kind of full circle. I had that before I became the CEO of Girl Scouts, but now I remember it differently.
Very cool.
Neat memory for me.
You know, we definitely wanted to have you on to talk about the cookie season, but especially this event, the the East Tennessee's favorite cookie. I just think it's a really cool marketing tool for the Girl Scouts, but just to put that, give that buzz around the cookie, give a little more pizzazz to just the original cookie sales that you do. And I just wanted to mention that if you do want to vote, March 15th is the last day. I know Lynn mentioned the upcoming celebrations. That's March 26th in Knoxville, April 2nd in Johnson City, and April 11th in Chattanooga. So check those out if you want to know what the favorite cookie is.
Yes. And anybody is welcome to come to those celebrations. That'd be great. And I really appreciate you having me on. The one last thing I would say is we have a lot of fun with cookies, but girls really do learn a lot. And it funds everything they do. So even if you don't want to eat a cookie, you can buy cookies and donate them, and we ship them to our military overseas.
That's a very good point. I also wanted to ask you two last questions that we ask everyone.
Okay.
Before we let you go, what's the first thing you think of when you hear the word Appalachia?
It's where I live.
Well, that leads into my next question. You know, we ground our podcast on place and perspective. Place is really important to Neil and I. It's really important to a lot of Appalachians. So we wanted to ask you, just where do you call home? What makes it home for you? What makes it unique?
So I originally grew up in Greenville, South Carolina. So we also have a strong sense of place. I think a lot of Southerners do. And so I've spent most of my life here. So where I call home is where family is. And right now, way too personal, but all my immediate family has passed away. So my family is my husband's family, and they're all here. And so that's why this is now home. And nice. Has been for over 30 years.
Very good answer. Like I think I told you before we started, I won't hold the fact that you went to the University of Tennessee against you, but I do appreciate Knoxville and all that area.
Well, I will say, not growing up here, I don't have the fever quite as badly as people who grew up here.
Good, good. So you're not one of those obnoxious fans.
No, my first love was the University of South Carolina, and then I came to UT. And then, you know, my sister went to the University of Georgia. I say I can be happy on any given Saturday.
There you go. Perfect. Perfect way to end. Thank you so much, Lynn, for being all on right. the episode, for talking about the Girl Scouts, for talking about all the amazing things that you do, not only for the Girl Scouts, but for that little piece of Appalachia that you call home.
Thank you for having me.
Will, great interview. Lynn bringing strong facts, telling us all the things we need to know about Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah, and the Girl Scouts in general. I mean, you can tell how passionate she is about the organization. And, I love to reference to entrepreneurship and how cookie season is cookie season. Everybody gets excited for it, but really it's a teaching lesson for the girls that are in Girl Scouts. And it's a pretty cool thing that they're doing in regards to voting for the favorite cookie.
Yeah, it's a great organization. Glad we could highlight it.
Yeah, we appreciate Lynn being on the show. With that, I wanted to ask you, Neil, do you have an app biz of the week for us?
I do. In the spirit of cookies, Will, I think it's only fitting that we highlight one of the great cookie places in Appalachia, the Appalachian Cookie Company in Boone, North Carolina. The Appalachian Cookie Company was founded by David Holloman while he was a student at Appalachian State University back in 2012. So it's got a great, unique story. You can check them out online. Their motto is made from scratch and baked to order. So you can pick up locally. They'll also deliver to anywhere. They do have nationwide shipping, but check them out. A little nice little spot in Boone, North Carolina. Or you can go to their website, which is appcookieco.com.
Very cool. I need to check that out. After you get through the cookie season, then you can, when it's not cookie season, you can check out their website.
Yes, sir.
All right. Good episode. I want to thank Lynn again for being on, talking about Girl Scouts in general, but especially cookie season and what they're doing in regards to that.
Yep, good stuff. Great episode, Will. Thanks for your time. And thanks again to Lynn for her time as well.
I guess since we're at the end, we can end it like we usually do. Till next time.
Peace.
I'm up in the mountains again. I'm getting lighter. Air's getting thin. Now I'm facing down with a grin. I've been in the city too long. Sidewalks and buildings and singing sad songs. Now I'm back up where I belong, in the mountains.